thank you for your word that energizes and empowers us. Lord, we thank you for your great love for your body. In the name of Jesus Christ, open our eyes this day that we may see you and your love for the body. Amen. Well, I guess everybody knows that tomorrow's Pentecost. And, you know, we've been watching it in Christian TV. They've been talking about, you know, possibly, you know, the third awakening happened this year. And I believe it's here upon us. But I looked up, you know, and got my curiosity, and what's the difference between an awakening and a revival? But an awakening is totally Holy Spirit. It's totally from the Spirit of God. It's not brought on by prayer, but it's just a divine, sovereign act of the Spirit of God. And anyway, now revival can come out of that. And it will. Revival comes out of that. But then we've seen that in the past, two great awakenings. But I want to share 1 Corinthians. This is the 15th chapter here. But I noticed Paul said he's speaking here of the resurrection. And he talks about the raptured church here and the resurrection. But right in the middle of it, he brings this out. He says, come back to your right senses. This is 15 and 33. I'll start at 33. I'm reading out of the... But anyway, he says, stop fooling yourselves. Evil companions will corrupt good morals and character. He says, come back to your right senses and awaken to what is right. And from your simple ways, for some have no knowledge of God's wonderful love. And you should be ashamed that I have to write this in this way to you. But we see an awakening here, right in the middle of talking about the resurrection. You know, and I got thinking about how much the Lord loves the body of Christ. And right here in these end days, we need an awakening. And I really think Holy Spirit is going to bring that to us. And a lot of people saying tomorrow, you know, and I kind of, I believe it's true. I believe in awakening. We're going to see that happen very shortly and possibly tomorrow. But anyway, during this great awakening, let me read out Isaiah right here. And what Isaiah 52 says about awakening. Isaiah 52:1, it says, wake up, open your eyes, beautiful Zion, and put on your majestic strength. And our majestic strength is the love of God. It says, Jerusalem, the sacred city, put on your holy garments. Never again will the unclean enter into your gates. Arise and shake off the dust. Sit enthroned, Jerusalem, and break off your shackles of bondage from your neck, your captive daughter of Zion. For this is what Yahweh has to say. You were sold for nothing, but now you've been redeemed without any payment. For Yahweh says, long ago my people went down to Egypt and lived as foreigners there, and for no good reason Assyria oppressed them. And now what I have here, says the Lord, indeed my people have been taken into bondage without cause. While mocking rulers howling every day, my name is continually despised, says Yahweh. Therefore my people will know the power of my name, and they will know in that day that I am the one who promised them, saying, behold, I am here. What a beautiful sight, behold, the precious feet of the messenger coming over the mountains to announce the good news. He comes to refresh us with wonderful news, announcing salvation to Zion, saying, your mighty God reigns. But, you know, Miss Barry, you like Holy Spirit in His love to awaken our hearts. You know, I think of the 10 virgins there. And Bible wise, Bible foolish, but the wise ones, they took that oil and they put it in their lamps. And I believe that's what the Lord is doing here in these last days. He's pouring out His Spirit. And He's given us opportunity to put that oil in our lamps and let our lights so shine before men that they see, you know, our good works and the Lord will be magnified in it all. But in a great revival and people being brought in the kingdom. But the Lord kind of put on my heart this week to say this, you know, He's brought it to my attention a few times here, but in this last great outpouring or this awakening, let all the credit go to the Holy Ghost. You know, I know the Holy Spirit works with man, even, you know, when the old temple was built, the Bible says, you know, the Spirit come upon those men to even lay the bricks and cut the stones and do all that, but this great outpouring, the Holy Ghost needs to get all the credit for it.
Amen.
You know, I know He's going to work in, work through man. But I've seen revivals in the past no more than get started, and then men would begin to take credit for it, and the revivals will see it. I mean, just as quickly as they've got started. And that's an era of man to do that. But I believe in this great awakening that, I mean, we'll be all stand, and people won't make that mistake because they know it's the Spirit of God, and we just need to credit Him for all that will be done during this, you know, this great end time before the resurrection. But I'm going to cut it short here, and I'm going to go ahead and let Brother Thurston, I know he's got a good word for us here, and let him get in all what he has to say this morning. But go ahead, Brother Thurston.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. I thank God for this for these days that we can do these podcasts, and it's a blessing to share God's word. I thank David, I thank you for that, because when the Lord do something new, it's of Him, and it's something that He originates. And when the people cry out to the Lord, then the Lord always has a plan. And the Lord put something on my heart last week. Remember, I was talking about attachments, and the Lord wanted me to go back and make that more clear. I've talked about reserves and then allowances and then attachments. And attachments is what hold people back, and through their choice. And before God do any mighty work through His people, those attachments has to be severed. When the angel appeared to Gideon, first a prophet came and warned him in Judges chapter 6. He told them that they went back into idolatry. He exposed the problem because they were so far out there, they didn't know how to get back. Then He sent the angel, and the angel called Gideon a man of valor, a mighty man of valor. Verse 12, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. It's awesome to know that God is with you. We heard that He's with us. But if you trust Him in your crisis, you'll know that He's with you. But Gideon still had some attachments he had to deal with. And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all His miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites? Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. That's one attachment. And I am the least in my father's house. The attachments cause you not to believe in what God can do in you and what he's done in you. And on our side of salvation, he was before Christ came. He was living off a covenant. We live off the fact that he did come. He fulfilled the covenants of God. And we believe on him. And we have full power. We have the full power that Christ walked in at our disposal. We can believe God and have his best on earth now. But we have to believe it. And we have to get rid of the attachments that say that we can't. And just because we don't have the experience of all that we can do, that doesn't mean we can't do them. And believing the wrong thing is an attachment. It holds us back. It keeps us from proceeding forward. And what's happening is, it's not that the Lord's not talking and giving people things to do. They're looking at the attachment more than they're looking at him. And there are many types of attachments. Attachments of doubt, attachments of inexperience, attachments of unbelief. But usually unbelief is rejection. When you see better and you don't go forward. But Gideon, the Lord, this story helps us to master following God. The Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now this is helping him have faith. Remember, when the Lord speaks to your heart, he knows how to relate to you. And when the word of God is in you, you're charged with strength. You're charged with life. Everything that God speaks, Jesus Christ is the word of God. He's the charge of God's word. And he became flesh and he taught us. We have to operate the things of God the same way Jesus did. No different. Verse 17, he said, and the Lord speaking, he said unto him, if now I have, this is Gideon, he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present to set before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. He wants to bless the angel. The angel spoke the word of the Lord in verse 16. Then this is Gideon's reply. Now we're gonna skip on down. He made a kid. He brought an offering out to the angel. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh of the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon the rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, because I have seen the angel of the face, the angel of the face of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. And we're going to talk about peace a little later. But Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet an Ophrah of the Bezronites. Now he's growing in his faith. He's beginning to trust the Lord instead of what he sees. Because we can only have the results of God, we have to focus on him and trust in him only, and not what we see that says otherwise. The enemy has gathered together, rallied the world against Christ, the world system, the people of the world system. He's rallying them against the life of God, against Christ, against God's people, and against God himself, because he told them a lie, and they trusted more. And verse 25 said, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, and even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had, and cut down the grove that is by it. Now this was the last attachment. Before he could go any further, he had to do this because God was not going to do a mighty miracle in the eyes of his people with that idol standing there. He had to sever his ties to the world just like we do. Don't expect any miracle of God if there's attachments like this. Any form of idolatry, greed, lust, pride, envy, all these things got to go before God moves. We can't operate in the power of God with attachments like this. And nobody that ever did God's will ever had attachments like that. They were all, you know, they tried to get, Nebuchadnezzar said, you got to bow down to this idol. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we won't do that, even if we die for it. And he put them in the fire, and they'd rather, you know, they were not going to bow down to an idol. And God showed up. And Nebuchadnezzar himself saw the fourth man in the fire, who was Christ. Now, and then he ordered them to come out, and he gave greater statues. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't sever himself from attachments, but God used people to guide him. And he used Meshach, you know, Abednego, Shadrach, and then Daniel. He put his anointing on people who trust him only, without the ties of the world. This is very important, because as from there, Gideon proceeded, and the Lord worked with him so that he could be in faith, and he did something about his doubts. He did something about his concerns. Those can be attachments if you don't deal with them. You have to put everything of the world system, every lie, every suggestion, every tie to the world under your feet. And then when the Lord bring his anointing, you can operate it unhindered. Now again, in Genesis, we'll go back to Genesis 12. We can learn a lot from how the Lord do things. He has a plan, and we have to learn his plan and adopt his ways, because sometimes we don't see it on earth. And even the greatest teachers, when the Lord, before he do some things, he has to give us information we may not have heard about, or we may have overlooked. And the Word of God is full of examples, and whatever he show us, we can find it in the Word. And Genesis 12, verse 1 says, now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, here's three attachments that Abraham had to get rid of. Now remember, he was in the land of Shinar, where idolatry began through Nimrod, and the generation who tried to build that tower. And here's Abraham under all that muck, all those lies. The Lord said, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, to a land that I will show thee. He had to cut ties with every work of darkness. He had to cut ties with it forever. And then he went to a land that God was showing. Now, he couldn't drag that idolatry with him, because he was going to be a patriarch that Christ was going to come through. But before God did anything, gave him any promise, he had to do this first. He said, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God can't proceed to verse 3 until verse 1 is accomplished. So he left his country, his land, you know, the kindred. And then when his father died, he proceeded south to Egypt, or west to Egypt. And so Abraham departed, as the Lord spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Now, We know that Lot was with him, and the greater things didn't happen till Lot left. And that's another story. But once Lot was gone, then the Lord showed him the stars and asked him to count them, told him to count the stars, and he couldn't do it. He said, that's how many descendants you're going to have. And then Abraham continued to keep covenant. The last attachment that he had to deal with was his son. He had to offer up his only begotten son of promise. And that happened to be Isaac. And this was the son he waited on for much of his life. All of his life he waited, 100 years, he waited on this son. And now the son is grown. And, you know, other scholars have proved that he wasn't a child, he was a man. And he offered him up. And the son allowed him to do it. And this is the covenant that God could put, you know, once he did that, then it was impossible for Christ not to come. God was going to make sure that Christ came. And other people, God raised up people that would fight the good fight of faith. Now King Saul, he had attachments. He was the king that everybody wanted, and God would have established him. But when we first met him, he was very industrious. He was looking for his father's donkeys. He took the matter all the way to the prophet, because he was a man that wouldn't quit. He was relentless. But he had one problem. After he was anointed and he was about to be announced, he hid behind the stuff. He had an attachment he didn't deal with, the people. And when he fell, he replied to the prophet, why didn't you kill Agag? And what are all these cows bellowing for? Why are they here? They were supposed to be destroyed. He said, the people wanted to keep them. We kept the best and we killed the rest. That wasn't the order of God. See, with attachments, you cannot obey God properly. You'll obey God partially. And partial obedience won't cut it when it comes to covenant. And this is a standard. God had to fire him. And, when I first read it, I said, well, couldn't God give him one more chance? But what was in his heart became something God couldn't work with. This is the same man that once knew God, once loved God. He didn't get rid of his attachment. His attachments grew to the point that he didn't. He tried to javelin David, an anointed man. He tried to kill the man because he loved power and he loved the honor of people more than he loved God. If these things can't be, if God is going to move the way we need him to. And the anointing of old, people have hardened against it. But the anointing that God wants to put on his people, it will give people the necessary light that they'll need. But God can't do it through people that have attachments. Now, and it's up to us. The Holy Spirit will guide us in life and help us to sever all the doubts that hold us back. You know, with the Holy Spirit, we can become professionals in every aspect of salvation. I understand that, you know, as you're going forward, you have to break through things. You have to break through personal doubts, the expectations of others, the persuasions of others. All these things have to be broken through. But the Word of God helps us do it. And it can be very, very challenging. So I don't look down on people who didn't get so far. It's today. We have a new day and we can do it. Whatever. I have so many failures. But I asked the Lord to teach me about the failures. I can tell you as many failures as I can successes. But because I missed it, I thought I was right and I was wrong. And I asked the Lord, why? How did it happen? In the times that I missed the Lord, I said, well, Lord, I believe you tell me things, but some things, I even wrote it down. I would write down everything I believe God told me. And then when it wasn't him, I asked him why. He said, when I speak, it's always going to be love. It's always going to be peace. But when the worldly, the what you hear from the enemy, it's going to deal with pride. It's going to deal with greed, the lust of the eye, things like that. But the motive, with the pure motive of God, we can always break through. Now, Abraham, Father Abraham, broke through for us. He broke through. It was for him and it was for us. God had to have a man with a pure line for Christ to come through. A line that would repent. See, when he repented and he broke through the dogmas of the day, the idolatry, the Baal worship, the moon worship, whatever his fathers were doing, whatever his kindred was doing, and whatever his name, he broke through it. He didn't vote for the popular president. He didn't vote for the religion of the day. He followed God. That was not easy, but he did it. He broke through. We have to break through just like he broke through. He broke through all the dogmas, all the lies, all the deceit. And it was notable. He was a very, very wealthy man. He had 300 men and when he fought against the king. He was helping the king of Sodom in those days. And he was fighting against the king of nations. That was a man that was trying to take everything. And they captured Lot. And he took 300 men and went and got Lot back. So he had others with him, but they were under his authority. They were working for him. They were his cattlemen. And they were also an army. They could fight. So, but he followed God. He did something notable. It was notable that he left his father's house. That was not something that people did in those days. He left his kindred. That was not something people did in those days. And he left his country to go to a land that God was showing. That was not the normal thing to happen, because you're going somewhere, you don't have the protection of your house, your father's house, your kindred, and your country. You're going out on your own to another land that God will show you. So if you have attachments, you can't do that. So sometimes when you follow God, it looks like you're all alone, but he's right there with you. That's why one of Jesus' names is Emmanuel. We're never alone. And when we stand, God is with us.